Kelly's Westport Inn proudly presents The Royal Man Report, brought to you by Kings of Coffee, featuring Mike Engel, KC Royal Man, and producer Aaron Gnerk. Check us out every Sunday from 7 to 8 p.m. at royalmanreport.com. Follow us on Twitter at Royal Man Report. Download the Stitcher radio app to your BlackBerry, iPhone, or Android device. Opening music and breaks provided to you by 49 Stones, www.49stones.net. Check them out. And now, the Royal Man Report.
And welcome into the Royal Man Report on October 9th, 2011, one day after my 31st birthday. You guys know how you know you're getting old is when you turn on the radio and your favorite station is 101 The Fox because they play the music that you grew up to.
Oh, man.
That's a good way to test it right
Jeff
there.
Jeff Herr in studio with us this week. How old are you, Jeff?
How old am I? I'm 26.
So you're the youngin' in the group.
Man.
Michael Engel, couple years older than me. Of course, we're joined by him.
Couple years? Hold up. A month.
Okay, a month older. I've yet to get your age right, so
no.
That's just how it's going to go, I guess.
He's just trying to make himself feel better by saying it's a couple years.
Right, you know.
That's cool. I mean, whatever.
So
I understand.
And, of course, we're joined by Aaron Gnerk behind the scenes trying to get us all figured out. We've had some gremlins in the studio today. We're hoping to get everything ready, being an international man of mystery he is. But Jason Parks from Baseball Prospectus expected to join us later, but we're having some problems with our Skype, so I need to message him. And I'm probably going to have to call him on his Mexican phone number, which he says makes him sound like a robot, so be aware.
I'm on a Mexican radio.
Whoa. Last week, we had another great show. It was just Mike and I kicking off the off season, and go back and check that out if you haven't already heard it. The instructs have started, and a lot of guys down there, and Mike and I were talking about that before the show. There's all sorts of dudes down there. There's something like 50 or 60 players, I think it is. Actually, I'm sorry, 79 players.
Yeah, 79.
79 players down in the Instructional League. So,
including such names as Bubba Starling, one of the draft picks this year, Aaron Brooks, Kevin Chapman, who was a draft pick last year. I mean, there's all kinds of guys. Cam Gallagher was our second-round pick, and he's down there. Chesler Cuthbert, one of those prospects that we're going to hear a lot about over the next couple of years. Some of the international signings of the last year or two.
Will Myers having some time down there.
Will Myers is in the Arizona Fall League.
Oh, Fall League, right. Not
they're
in
the
that's
right. That's I think they're right, in the same spot. It's confusing because it's basically all in the same area.
But they're like a month apart.
But they're all different.
Right. Yeah, I stupidly.
Well, they're all at the same time, too. It's just they're doing totally different things.
Well, I didn't think Fall League had started yet.
Fall League started on the 4th.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I am mistaken. I got to get
but
on top of the
Will
game.
Will Myers has a homer there already. He's doing all right.
So no news on the pitching coach front. It's been a pretty quiet search as far as I can tell. We really haven't heard anything out of the K on this. Have you guys heard anything new?
No.
I have not heard anything.
I haven't, but I don't think they're going to be doing a lot of movement on that for a while. It just seems, I mean, it's something that you want to get set up. But I think right now there's still some teams that are in the playoffs, obviously, and some of those guys could be targets. It could just be a matter of they're narrowing down themselves or they just haven't announced anything. So I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see because I think that's going to be a big part of what's going to affect us going forward. Let's talk a little bit about actual baseball that's going on. Playoffs are underway. Cardinals surprising everybody, especially me, and knocking the Phillies out. I had the Phillies to win it all. So I'm just amazed that they bowed out in 5-game series, 7-game series. You can't get into the whole short series, long series thing because you've got to win. If you're Philadelphia, you got to win 3 games at home, period.
Mm-hmm.
And
they didn't do it.
They didn't get the job done. Of course, Texas and Detroit battling the weather didn't get a game going today, but the Rangers did win yesterday. I'm hoping for the Rangers. That's who I picked out of the AL anyways, so hoping they can pull it off. Cardinals today go in and just batter Greinke. Not only do I want to talk about that and the fact that in something like 10 or 11 postseason innings, he's got nearly a 9 ERA. I don't know if you guys heard over yesterday or not, but Greinke, being Greinke, comes out and says that Chris Carpenter is a phony. Did you guys see this quote?
I
heard about it, yeah.
Did you guys hear Tony La Russa's response?
Uh-uh.
Okay, so Tony La Russa, being Tony La Russa,
of course,
comes out and just goes off. And I highly suggest everybody just Google Greinke's trash talk, and you'll get both the original hit and La Russa's comeback because it has been an interesting exchange of words, and the Cardinals obviously didn't take lightly to it, and they came out and bashed Greinke as hard as they could. Unfortunately, Prince Fielder is trying to get his offseason contract, so I think it'd be funny if Pujols leaves the Cardinals, and then the Cardinals turn around and sign Prince Fielder.
That would be just pretty funny.
It's definitely possible.
And it is definitely possible, because I think St. Louis has more money than Milwaukee has to spend.
I would agree with that.
Milwaukee has put a lot of money down in the last couple of years to win this year. So they're well on their way. They are definitely the best team. I think they're the best team in the NL.
They've got an offense that isn't reliant on home runs all the time. Like, they can manufacture runs. I think that's what the Phillies ran into, is a lot of their guys, you know, Ryan Howard and Chase Utley, are guys that, you know, they'll hit doubles, but a lot of times it's Ryan Howard, and you wait for him to hit that homer, and in the playoffs, I mean, you're facing the best pitchers. You know, managers will use their bullpens differently. They'll play matchups a lot more. They're going to be a lot more liberal with changing pitchers and bringing in somebody else. And so you really neutralize some of those things. And the Phillies, you know, they just weren't scoring runs, and that's evidenced by that last game where, you know, it was a 1-0 pitcher's duel, and Chris Carpenter handled them.
And everyone talks about how great their rotation is, and they do have a phenomenal rotation. I'd take any one of those pitchers as our number one for sure. But then, I mean, they can only do so much, and if you can't get that offense going, you can't help them out, then there's nothing they're going to be able to do. They can't win it on their own.
Well, Professor Parks remarked, and if you listen to Up and In, which I think is a great podcast, and if you look on Stitcher, people that like our show like their show and vice versa, which is kind of cool. When I'm listening to Up and In, it says, number one show that listeners who listen to Up and In listen to is also The Real Man Report. So keep doing that, folks. That's good advertising for me. They talk a lot about how there's only 10 real aces in all of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason Parks remarked today on his Twitter account at Professor Parks that Philly has two true aces. And I didn't ask which two, but Holiday's got to be one. I don't know if he's
Holiday and Lee, and
I don't
know if
Holiday
he's talking about Cliff Lee or not. I don't.
Hamels isn't really that far off. Cliff
so
Lee,
it's got to be. Cliff
walks
Lee.
About one batter every month.
Yeah, I'd put Cliff Lee over Hamels.
But
I think.
He said,
"Oh yeah."
He said that Greinke was not, and I found that very interesting because I mean, even
I don't think
me
he is yet.
Even me, I would call Greinke an ace, but I guess he's not.
Well, he was an ace when he won the Cy Young for us anyway.
And
that
he's
was
just,
definitely
he's just taking such a
potential.
Yeah,
and you know. I don't. It's that question. You never know with Greinke. I don't want to play into the whole social anxiety disorder because I don't think that should matter that much. But a player's personality can come into play, and you know he's shown the willingness to walk away from the game at times, and you know maybe that's a focus thing.
Goldstein talked about on that show that's overplayed by the media because that only affects his dealings with the media. It does not affect him on the field.
And anybody who's played sports at any level, you really do tune it out. I mean, you're not thinking about what you're going to be asked after the game. You're not going to be thinking about what someone's going to talk to you about later. You know, you're focused on what you're doing and playing the game, and everything else just kind of fades into the background. It's like the Kevin Costner movie For Love of the Game. You clear the mechanism. You just shut it out and you play.
And I think Greinke has done that very well. And it's just interesting to see how much of a rough time he's had these last two games, if it is stress or maybe being overly excited. Because we know Greinke's that kind of guy that he can get really excited for something like this. This is what he wanted. This is why he left Kansas City, was to go play for a team that could get to the playoffs. And he's definitely got that. It'll continue for the Brewers. And it'll be interesting to see if Greinke gets another shot in this series, if they don't get swept. I mean, he should. Even if they get swept,
he should be in line for game four, I think.
But is St. Louis going to do what they did a few years ago where they got real hot in the late part of the season and then just rode it all the way in?
I hope not.
Yeah, I really don't like the Cardinals.
Yeah, so we
I'm
can't.
I don't know. I don't know why.
We cannot speak well on that subject, I guess. So.
Not to mention I had a bunch of friends from college who were all from St. Louis, and all they ever talked about was the Cardinals. And I was in college when they won the World Series, and that's all I ever heard about.
Yeah.
And then if it just be even worse if they did it again. And, I mean, I had the Phillies like you did. I had them since July going to win the whole thing, and then all of a sudden the Cardinals come out of nowhere. It's just,
I'm just tired of these teams that are building these dream teams, the Yankees, the Red Sox, now the Phillies. The Angels seemed to try to do that at one point, but their GM was awful, which is why he's fired.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting to see if we could get some real baseball teams out there and some sort of a salary cap and salary floor like football's got. Football really has it right. And where they have a 90% minimum. And if you saw something like that in baseball, baseball would be a lot more competitive. But until we do, I guess you're just going to get these surprises in the playoffs where a team like St. Louis that has spent some money, but they definitely weren't the team that the Phillies were, and I don't think they spent nearly the money the Phillies had. And just to go in there and beat them down. And look at what happened to the Yankees. I mean, I think that surprised everybody. Detroit had no business winning that series.
I think Detroit had a much better rotation and a better bullpen overall. The offense, I think that's definitely the Yankees. Yeah, the Yankees definitely have the advantage there. But, you know, they're facing Justin Verlander and Doug Fister and Rick Porcello and Max Scherzer and those guys. I mean, that's a lot better than, say, Freddie Garcia and Bartolo Colon, no matter how well they pitch this year.
Yeah, and you look at, I mean, dude, I think did the Red Sox spend the most last year in free agency? Or I mean,
they probably did.
Something like that. Give, but they
I
were.
Mean, it depends. But I mean, regardless of how much they spent, it was a lot of money, and I mean, they didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So it's I definitely think it would be interesting to see the dynamics change in baseball if you were to give some sort of a salary cap like you were mentioning. I think that would definitely. I mean, there's no doubt it would even the playing field make things quite a bit more interesting.
Well, we're going to come up on the break here, and hopefully we'll have Jason Parks on the other side, but we'll be right back on the other side. Stay tuned.
Hey, Royal Man Report fans, are you ready for some football? I know I am. Kelly's Westport Inn at 500 Westport Road has everything you need for a great Sunday. The NFL Sunday ticket, HD TVs, $2 pizza slices, and discounted beer buckets so low I can't even say I'm here, and you don't even have to pay $27 to park. You can hang out downstairs where it's non-smoking, or head on up to Randall's Roof, which is temperature controlled and has smoking allowed, one of few places in Kansas City. This is the best deck in Kansas City, according to the Pitch Magazine, and it is home of the Royal Man Report post show. Come on out any Sunday after 9 p.m. for discounted boulevards. Get you a beer and have a great time.
You like what you're hearing? Check out FlanagansRightHook.com for more information on their music and where you can see them play. They are a favorite of Kelly's Westport Inn. Check them out many, many times at Kelly's in the heart of the core of Westport on the corner of Westport Road in Pennsylvania. Kelly's Westport Inn. Be there.
Into the Royal Man Report. I am Casey Royal Man, and we are having all sorts of demons today. So we're going to come back in. In the meanwhile, our awesome producer, Gunnar, is going to try to get us on board so that we can get Jason Parks in from Mexico. You know, let's jump into another sport other than baseball. Chiefs look good today, beat Indy, and I'm going to actually make a fantasy football reference. And that
Yay.
I have a Dynasty League team that if I would have started Battle and Painter, I would have won. Now, those are things that you would not have expected you would have heard at any point this season.
Yeah, but I mean, those are the kinds of things you can never really second guess those decisions, because 9 times out of 10, it's not going to work out for you. But I it is painful to see that. I had Jason Avant on my bench. I had Kevin Walter on my bench.
I dropped Ben Roethlisberger before this week, and that was probably the worst move I've made. And I've made a lot of bad fantasy football moves, and that was probably the worst I've made in my long history.
5 touchdowns.
Yeah, looked like he had been pretty rough, though. It's going to be an interesting football season. I think, officially can no longer suck for luck. I think we're finally too good to suck for luck. And I really thought Denver would step up in Denver after getting their butts handed to them last week and maybe play some good football and beat the Chargers, who are notoriously bad on the road.
Thing is, though, I mean, if you look at the Chiefs, not only are they out of suck for luck, but I mean, I'm not saying playoffs, but I think they can have that 6-8 win thing. It might be a little bit of a stretch, but I don't think that's out of the question, because you look at coming up, we've got Denver at home, we've got Miami at home. Say you could win those couple games, maybe win one you're not supposed to with Oakland or a San Diego on the road, or San Diego at home. And then you look at, everyone talks about that big murderer's row stretch of those 5 teams. Well, the Steelers are obviously, I mean, they played really well today, but they're not the Super Bowl team that they were last year.
They don't look the same as they have in the last few years.
And the only team that may have a worse pass defense than the Chiefs is the New England Patriots. Now, they also have Tom Brady, but now the Packers, I mean, that's an overmatch. That game's over.
You pretty much have to call that one
right now. Give that one away. But, I mean, I think the point is those 5 games that everyone just assumed was 5 straight losses aren't necessarily as in the bag of a loss as people originally thought. So I think with some little bit of luck and the right things turn around, I mean, you could win 6-7 games. And let's say they go 7-9 with all the injuries and all the difficulty they've had. I mean, wouldn't that make you feel really good about going into 2012 with the Chiefs as that being the case, getting Jamal Charles back and Eric Berry back and Tony Moyaki and...
Well, what everybody says, and the reason we needed to suck for luck, was that we're not going to be as good next year as we could have been, because we could have gotten a high draft pick. Problem is, if you really believe that quarterback's a problem, which I can go with that, but he also doesn't have an offensive line. We don't really seem to have any sort of pass rush, and I know we're beat up, but there's got to be something more there than just a quarterback. But there is probably going to be 5 or 6 decent quarterbacks in this draft,
right?
And one of the big points I've been making is there are so few really good quarterbacks that have come out at number one and been John Elway.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, there's Peyton Manning, and that's the one that always blares people in the face.
Right.
But there's as many Tom Brady's as there is Peyton Manning's, if not more.
There's also Alex Smith, and there's also Tim Couch, and there's also David Carr, and they were all three number one overall picks.
Akili Smith.
You always bet on the pool, unless it's Tiger Woods at the Masters in 1999. That's the only time you take the favorite, you know, because you've got, you know, let's say that there are 20 quarterbacks that can be drafted in a draft. You've got 19 against one. One of those 19 is going to pan out. It just depends on how you develop them. Now, you know, you put that guy at the front, you know, the number one overall guy. You're really investing a lot in a guy that you've never seen play in a pro scheme. You've never seen him play against a pro defense. You know, the guys like, you know, Cam Newton is playing very well right now, but at the same time, you know, he's kind of pulling things out of thin air at times, and he's benefiting a lot from Steve Smith and doing things I haven't seen him do since 2005.
And the fact that nobody's ever seen him before, you know, Vince Young had a really good rookie season too, and then they got tape on him and they saw how he operated, and his next year wasn't as good. I mean, I think you kind of have to look at the situation of, if a team is 2-14 or 1-15 and drafted number one overall, quarterback is not their only problem. You know, so to say that, even with the injuries we've had, to say that, oh, as long as we had a quarterback like Andrew Luck or somebody that good that we'd be able to come in and just blast right out of the gate next year, it's no. I mean, if we're 2-14 this year, there's going to be a lot of problems, and it's not going to take one quarterback or one player to fix.
And it's not going to be fixed by getting everybody that was injured back.
But exactly.
Getting those back, plus drafting well, which is one thing that, if you guys follow C. Harrison on Twitter, Carrington from 610 Sports talks a lot about how the Chiefs have drafted very poorly in rounds 2 through 5.
Right.
And that's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fix that problem, you get a lot more value out of what you get. You know, and we haven't seen anything from John Baldwin yet.
Right.
And that whole story now seems to maybe not be as cut and dry as it was, that he was the mouthy one. It might have actually been on the other side, and he just ended up getting hurt. So maybe Thomas Jones isn't the angel in this. But nonetheless, this team right now is on a run, and sometimes that's all it takes. And the reason that I always gripe about football, like we made the playoffs, the Chiefs made the playoffs last year. I said then that it's a lot easier in football to make the playoffs than it is any other sport. While they have less teams, it only takes a semi-good run for a little while, and you can be a playoff team in football.
Exactly.
It's unlike any other sport. There's so many games in basketball and hockey and baseball that you have to really earn it to get to the playoffs. And I'm not saying the Chiefs didn't earn it last year. They won. They were there. Fine. You know, they deserved to be there. They ran into Baltimore, which just ate them alive, and we all kind of saw that coming because, again, no offensive line. Castle got ate up. At some point, you're going to need help for that quarterback. So if you go out and get Luck, that's fine, and he's going to get sacked 500 times, and he could just as easily turn into David Carr, which is why Carr never got right. Carr might have been a great quarterback had he had 4 seconds to throw a football.
Yeah, he can't throw a touchdown if he's on his back.
And he was knocked down so many times and so fast that that really concerns me, that everybody would turn on their team and hope that because it's going to give us 10 to 15 years of a quarterback, which you don't even know that. He might stay here for 5 and be gone just as easily.
And I think everyone can agree that Aaron Rodgers is playing quarterback about as well as anybody, maybe ever right now.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at his first year, they had a terrible offensive line in Green Bay, and they went 6-10. You know, so even when you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, who is just an assassin, I mean, you still doesn't guarantee you any much more wins than any than. Just, you know, if you have a poor team. I mean,
and he was pretty good once he did actually get time to play, but he wasn't nearly as good in the last few years as he's been this year. He's just really now come into his own. There's going to be growing pains. If you go away from Castle to somebody else, there's going to be growing pains no matter where you go.
Yeah.
So,
And on that quarterback note, I think it's very rare for you to take a quarterback and throw him in his first year and have success.
Right.
Guys like Peyton Manning are Peyton Manning because there's only one of them. You know, you look at Aaron Rodgers as a good example of that. He was behind Brett Favre for a couple of years before he actually got a shot. Going further back, Brad Johnson was behind Warren Moon for a while. And, you know, you learn from those experiences. You can't just always throw someone into the fire.
And even someone like Peyton Manning, even though his success came pretty quick, in his first,
his first year
he was 3-13, and he almost threw 30 interceptions. So, I mean, there's growing pains. Yeah, exactly.
Elway was the same way.
Yeah, so, you know, even with success from, like, Matt Ryan or Joe Flacco, a lot of times, you know, they had a good running game in Atlanta. They had a very good defense in Baltimore.
They were truly set up where the only thing missing was the quarterback. So if you get a situation like that, then you can – but also, the Falcons was a little bit different because of how Michael Vick just kind of destroyed that organization before he left. And then the Ravens were different because that did poorly enough that they could draft Joe Flacco. There was no reason for them to be that bad. That was just an off year for some reason, and they just did poorly. They haven't done that bad since.
And there's people calling calling for his head. Sorry, just a second. I was eating popcorn on the break while we were trying to fix stuff, and I just got a kernel in my throat, and that was not very radio-friendly. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, and I think we have a long way to go, but now people need to stop focusing on the number one overall pick, and if you really want a quarterback, take a look at some of the other guys that are out there, because there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's Matt Barkley, and the guy's name that slips my mind right now is the guy from Wisconsin who I got to see firsthand.
Russell Wilson.
Dissected defense, and he's older and smarter, so he'd be a good guy to have on your team because he's got the good head, and that's what Luck has too, is he's got good brains. He doesn't seem like he'd be a Jamarcus Russell and just cheat out of doing the playbook, and they don't get the big money anymore up front, so you need to have a good couple of years to really get that second big paycheck. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Anyways, moving on, the other Kansas City pro team, real quick. Sporting Kansas City has fallen to second in the Eastern Conference, and full disclosure, none of us really follow soccer.
Yeah,
you
follow it closer than either of us, I think.
So I'm just going to give you kind of a quick overview of what's been going on with the Sporting. They are in second in the Eastern Conference behind the Philadelphia Union. I've been keeping up with the Cauldron page on Facebook, and no matter what, they should get one home playoff game, and it looks like they're on a good run to make the playoffs unless they absolutely fall apart. But they haven't lost in a long time, and I was actually looking for their last loss and didn't see it quickly offhand. It looks like they lost to the FC Dallas clear back on 8/27. So that was the last loss, and that was here at Sporting Park. But other than that, they've had ties or wins ever since August. So they're into October. They tied their first game in October, and they play a friendly, I believe it is, on the 12th, Guadalajara. And I know that Jimmy, I can't think of what his last name is now, the goalie for the Sporting, he will not be starting in that game because it's just a chance to work out some of their younger guys. So then they will be back in business against New York on the 15th, and it's at 3 p.m., so go out, check out the Sporting. October 15th at 3 p.m. is their next actual game, and then on the 12th they have their friendly, and both those will be a lot of fun. So go check those out, and it looks like that might be the last Sporting home game, because then they go on the road on the 22nd to RFK Stadium to play the DC United, and I believe that's the end of the season until the playoffs, and like I said, they should have one home playoff game, so we'll see a little more on that soon. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back and we'll round table the end of this and figure out what we're going to do with the rest of this. If we can't get Park this week, we'll get him soon. So thank you to everybody that's listening. If you were expecting Jason Park, we do apologize.
Hey, Royal Manor Port fans, are you ready for some football? I know I am. Kelly's Westport Inn at 500 Westport Road has everything you need for a great Sunday. The NFL Sunday Ticket, HD TVs, $2 pizza slices, and discounted beer buckets so low I can't even say I'm here, and you don't even have to pay $27 to park. You can hang out downstairs where it's non-smoking, or head on up to Randall's Roof, which is temperature controlled and has smoking allowed, one of few places in Kansas City. This is the best deck in Kansas City, according to the Pitch Magazine, and it is home of the Royal Manor Report post show. Come on out any Sunday after 9 p.m. for discounted boulevards. Get you a beer and have a great time.
You like what you're hearing? Check out FlanagansRightHook.com for more information on their music and where you can see them play. They are a favorite of Kelly's Westport Inn. Check them out many, many times at Kelly's in the heart of the core of Westport on the corner of Westport Road in Pennsylvania. Kelly's Westport Inn. Be there.
Big Net Minute.
Oh, who did that?
May not actually be a minute.
Well, the postseason's underway. It started over a week ago, but it seems that nobody bothered to tell Alex Rodriguez. Alex's offseason started on October 1st. The problem is that his team was still technically in the playoffs until October 6th. That's until A-Rod struck out three times in their ALDS Game 5. This makes him the first person in baseball history to strike out to knock his team out of the playoffs. Twice. We knew you were destined for the record books, Alex. I was 4 years old when Chris Chambliss hit his home run to send Freddie Patek into the dugout crying in 76. I cried for over an hour. So seeing the recent futility of the world's most pompous, overpriced, obnoxious team, that's terribly rewarding to me. It's fantastic to see that A-Rod batted 111 in the ALDS, that he struck out three times in the fifth game, and that the Yankees are going home early. Losers. What can we take away from all of this? Well, we can take away that you don't have to be the cockiest team to be a champion. You don't have to be the highest paid team to be a champion. You do need to have the heart of a champion. And that it's always better to have a hard throwing fister on your staff than have a weak swinging rod in the box. This has been your Fake Ned Minute.
Fake Ned Minute.
Welcome back into the Royal Man Report. Sorry, folks, no Jason Parks today. I'm going to work with him to reschedule. I'm sure he'll be very good to us to do that. I'm going to go and let Mike take over for a minute here, and we're just going to run through the questions we're going to talk to him about, kind of talk a roundtable format with him, and then hopefully when we are able to have him on here in a week or two, we'll be able to ask him the same question. So take it away, Mike.
as we talked about a little bit earlier, the instructional season is upon us in baseball, and as we mentioned, there are 79 players on the Royals instructional roster. Some of those are guys like Bubba Starling, and you know, guys you may know. Chesler Cuthbert is another name I mentioned. Yordano Ventura, who's kind of one of my favorite sleeper prospects. There's also a lot of guys who were drafted this year. Brian Brickhouse is down there. Kyle Smith, Cam Gallagher. There's a huge list, and I've spaced out Jack Lopez, Patrick Leonard. A lot of those guys who we signed to pretty sizable bonuses are down there. And really, the instructional leagues are set up basically to get a first look at prospect and a draft picks in-game speed and get them into games. They're not really official games because, you know, they don't really keep stats. It's hard to find a box score for them unless somebody's there and reports it. It's a lot more just to work on things and give those players a chance to actually work and show what they're going to do in a game. Jason Adam was one of the guys who was out there last year. He signed so late in the signing season after the draft that they didn't really get a look at him until instructionals, and then ended up, you know, he pitched in Kane County for most of the year. So that's the idea behind the instructional leagues. Kevin Goldstein, earlier this week, I think it was, he tweeted, you know, you don't want to take too much stock into the instructional statistics. You know, it's a unique situation. It's more of an evaluation situation where you want to look at how they approach the game, how they prepare for a game, and, you know, if they perform well, that's great. But if Bubba Starling goes 0-14 over three games, the Royals aren't going to drop his stock any. They're still going to think he's going to be a potential five-tool player. They just want to see what they can do. So that's the instructional leagues, which, there, like I said, there's a lot of interesting players down there. Some of the guys I'm interested in particular are Brickhouse, of course. Kevin Chapman had a really great year at AA. He's down there. Murray Watts, Brett Eibner, some guys who have been around this year already are down there. And I'm really interested in the international signings, guys like Elia Hernandez and Adalberto Mondesi, some of the two bigger profile signings from this past July. Thankfully, we've got Jeff here, who, if you're a regular reader of Kings of Kauffman, he used to do the series Princes of Kauffman, which was weekly rundown of the minor leagues. So these are a lot of names that he definitely recognizes. Jeff, who are you interested in finding out about down there?
I think a lot of the ones that you kind of mentioned. One of the big ones that I really like pay attention to is Chesler Cuthbert. He was one of the guys that you heard specifically Greg Schaum, I think, coming in. He talked a lot about Chesler as one of the top prospects, but you didn't really see that much outside of Pine Tar Press, where the website that he runs, which is a great website for Royals minor league players. He kind of came on in around June or so and just really started real fast out of the gate, looking really great, and then kind of slowed at the end of the season. But I think he's still got a lot of tools out there. He's someone who is a real exciting young player for the Royals, should work his way up through the system pretty quickly here. He's probably the one that I'm most excited about, but I think some of the draft picks that we just had, Kyle Smith and Brian Brickhouse are I think they were second or third and fourth round picks.
Yeah, I think
for
they
us.
Were third and fourth.
Yeah, so yeah. I heard a lot of good stuff about both those, and they both had solid offers to North Carolina and Florida, and there was some question as whether or not we'd actually be able to sign them, because mm-hmm. it was going to cost a lot to get them to come because they're very talented players. Seeing how those two go, I believe Kyle Smith, if I remember correctly, there were some comparisons to Roy Oswalt. That might be a little bit of a stretch for someone so young, but it's still... Obviously, anytime you can bring that into the conversation, that's a pretty good compliment. So seeing how those pitchers go, especially looking at some of, I guess you could say, failures in the Royals pitching, minor league pitching this year, it'd be good. It'd make me feel a little bit better about this team's future if we had some young pitchers come up that kind of the hype that some of those pitchers had coming into this year in the minors, but still continued through all the way to the majors.
Yeah, it's always tough when you bring in a high school pitcher because there's so much between when they enter the minors to where they actually get to the majors or approach the majors. You know, they could have an injury, they could have a bad stretch, they could too many adjustments, and all that stuff can just wear him down to the point where, you know, you get Todd Van Poppel, who has maybe 2 years where he's hopeful he can be a league average pitcher, but he's coming out of the bullpen where he's been hyped to the point that everybody thinks he's going to be a huge prospect. Or Ben McDonald is another guy like that. Brian Taylor. All those guys in the early 90s were mentioned as the next Nolan Ryan or the next this or that, and you know, none of them ever materialized. I think Ben McDonald probably had the most success of any of those, and even then he was probably below average for that era. So it's always a risk when you get those guys, but get them in camp. You know, Jason Adams is a good example of that. He's 19 years old, or he just turned 20 in August, and he was playing in the Midwest League against guys who are 21, 22, guys who have played a couple years of rookie ball, who've played in the Midwest League before. He came in and had 0.0 ERA, but he didn't walk more than two batters in a start other than one time, and he started 22 games.
He showed a lot of flashes, for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, they monitored his pitch count a lot, and he didn't really pitch more than five innings most of the time in any start. But, you know, you get a guy like that who was a fifth-round draft pick, you bring him in, you know, you take a look at him in instructionals, and last year he was hitting 98 with his fastball doing workouts, and I think that was enough that the Royals had confidence to put him in and give him kind of the fast track to that. Going back to Cuthbert, I think he had some injuries in the second half of the season.
Yeah, he was out for a little bit.
Yeah, and that slowed him down. And also, he's 19 years old, playing at a level, again,
like just turned 19.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
he's really
against
young
guys again who are, you know, in their 20s, who have been around, and to have that kind of showing, you know, to me, it's impressive to not be overwhelmed. Another guy kind of like that who we've got on our list here, Will Myers, down there in the Arizona Fall League, he's played in Double A, but he's going to be 21 in December. And he's already in Double A, you know. So one of the questions we wanted to talk to Jason about is, you know, how much a player's statistics might matter in the minor leagues. And to an extent they do, because you want to have performance. But with the context of somebody like Will Myers, who's playing way over his head, that, not that, you know, he can't play at that level, but you don't see a lot of 20-year-olds in Double A having a lot of success. And when you do, it's guys like Ryan Braun and Mike Trout is a guy like that recently, or Justin Upton playing at that level. So it's just tough.
To jump off on one thing you'd said, I wanted to bring this up. You know, you talked about Jason Adam and the gains he made this year.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a chance, go to pinetarpress.com, search for Jason Adam, and Jason ADAM, and there's a chat with him, and you can go back and replay the chat, and it's got all the questions that were asked. And two of them that were right off the top, one from me and one from Clint, that I really wanted to hit on about Jason, because it's kind of some stuff that he's talked to us about, but also something really big with what we've been talking about with how much of a difference a pitching coach makes. I asked Jason that, I said, this season seemed better than last. Lack of injuries for you. The team made the playoffs. Do you feel like you gained what you wanted to, and are you back on track for the big leagues? He said absolutely. He said he felt like the coaching staff at Kane County really helped him to not only improve his stuff, but to even stay healthy. So he saw a difference just with pitching staff on health and on getting his stuff together. And Clint followed up with that and asked how big of an influence the pitching coach at Kane County has been. He responded with, Jason Adams said he's a huge influence, helped him with his stuff more than he could have ever imagined, and really transformed him as a pitcher. Now, Jason Adams was a highly touted prospect to begin with. So if he's getting this transformed in the minor leagues, he may really turn into a real nice gem coming out of the minors. And I'm really interested to see him coming through spring training next year and what we can see. But more importantly, you see what a difference a good pitching coach makes. And I think it was something that we were really missing here in Kansas City the last couple of years. And that's not a shot at all on the pitching coach we had. It's not that he wasn't the right guy, but he wasn't the right guy for this team.
Right.
So he might be the right guy for somebody else, but he wasn't the right guy for this team. So it'll be interesting to see as we get on here a little bit more with this pitching coach search on how much difference that makes. Lots coming up there, and it'll be real interesting to see what we're going to get. You know, Kevin Goldstein did tweet that the extents of the instructional show very little as to far as to who will or won't succeed. So when we do get Jason Parks on, we really want his, you know, Kevin Goldstein's his partner on Up and In, so I'd really be interested to see what Jason Parks has to say about the instructs, because he did spend the last couple weeks down there. So, and he also writes, if you go to Jason Parks' Twitter page at Professor Parks, he's got a site that it's completely devoted to Texas Rangers minor league.
Yeah, the Texas Farm Review.
Yeah, so he does a lot with the Texas Farm as well. So there was a lot of good stuff there as well if you're interested in other minor leagues. But, of course, you know, check out Kings of Kaufman and Fish on the Farm and other minor league stuff that we got there. And, of course, Pine Tar Press and Omaha Baseball 360. They're all going to have a bunch of good stuff on the minors. You know, they haven't had Chester Colbert on the site at all over at Pine Tar Press, which kind of surprised me. I was looking through there, and I didn't see anything. So if Sean's listening, he can correct me on that. It'll be interesting to see what we find out from him. We've been finding that some of the minor leaguers are getting locked down by their agents a little bit and are having trouble actually coming out and giving interviews. One of the 30th round picks had troubles with doing some interviews. I guess he couldn't do one of Shams' nine innings because his agent told him not to. So I don't know what's up with that. I don't see how it could hurt to get the exposure, but
yeah, it probably depends on the agent, because back in January I was talking with Josh Kuznick, and he was more than willing to, you know, help connect me with, you know, the guys he represents, and some of those, like Nick Francis, who was just released out of the minors, and, you know, he represents Lorenzo Cain and Jeremy Jeffress, and set me up with Lorenzo Cain, so I got to talk to him a little bit. I think it just depends as far as some of them are going to be willing to share their clients and get them out there, and some of them probably want to control the message a little bit more. So, and it could also depend on, you know, the level that player is at. I was at Blog to the K back in May. You know, Mike Swanson really talks about how they take all the guys and they tell them, if you have a Twitter, that stuff is public record. Anybody can bring it up. It's fair game. You're going to be accountable for what you say on there. You know, they want them to approach that in the same way and be aware of it. They'll also give them tips on how to handle the media and how to talk to the media. And I think that's part of it. It might be that some of those guys are lower level guys. They haven't really, you know, he's a 30th round pick, so he's got talent, but maybe he's not scouted as much, so he doesn't run into the media as much. So maybe he, you know,
maybe his agent wants him to have some more work. But, you know,
right,
on that subject of how the front office handles things at the Royals, I think it's very interesting that the whole Bubba Starling thing's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you haven't heard.
You heard
word.
It one day.
Yep.
And nothing.
But I really, and I think that's a good sign, because obviously
the
Royals
handled it perfectly.
I think JJ Piccolo handled it perfectly. And, you know, and on subject of him, kind of jumping around here as we've gotten off of the sheet, and we're just kind of going on
table,
the fly here.
Like,
yeah.
Said,
yep. So yes, this is a little different than usual. Our breaks weren't quite where they were normally going to be. We had some troubles with Jason Parks. I did actually just get an email from Jason. He says no problem. He'll come on next week if we can get this all figured out.
Awesome.
And he's willing to come on anytime. Always available to talk to the Royals. So Jason Parks, Professor Parks on Twitter. Tell him, give him a shout out and tell him that he's awesome, because he really is. I mean, that guy's got a lot going on with Baseball Prospectus, and he's taking time for us. So we appreciate that. But continuing on where we were, Bubba Starling, we didn't hear anything. And JJ Piccolo, whose name you have not heard much in the search of new general managers. I'm not saying Piccolo deserves it, but he definitely would at least deserve a look.
I think he'd be a candidate, yeah.
I definitely think he'd be on that long list. You
because
know.
He is a big part of what you're seeing with this minor league system. Of course, Dayton Moore gets all the praise and all the, and everything goes against him if it doesn't work out. But Piccolo is like the head guy for
They've
the minor leagues.
Piccolo and Rene Francisco is their international coordinator for those things. Mike Arbuckle, I think. I mean, they've got all kinds of great scouts and scouting directors.
That's actually been my biggest concern. If the Royals actually get this thing turned around, you know, next year and the year after, if they become a contender, losing JJ Piccolo to another team as a general manager, which is going to happen if the Royals turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
But that's ultimately one of my biggest fears, because I really think as much credit as Dayton Moore gets, and deservedly so to this point, I think JJ Piccolo is his right-hand man, and you got to wonder if he's going to be as successful without him, if they'll be successful without each other.
You look at guys like, you know, Billy Beane back when Moneyball was being written. You know, he had De Podesta right there, right beside him, and he's gone on to have success in some areas. And I think he was also with the Blue Jays, wasn't it?
Some of the guys that have made a real difference that you would hope could step into Piccolo's position if he did get taken away. Obviously, Mike Arbuckle, he's been a big part of it. Another guy you don't hear about.
And he used to be with the Phillies. I think he helped them build a lot of the guys that they traded around for, Cliff Lee and others.
So he's down there, and that would be a great one. Lonnie Goldberg, you hear about him in a while.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big part of it. Scott Sharp's down in the minor
Scott
leagues.
Scott Sharp's the guy I was trying to think of.
Yeah, that's who I thought you were trying to think of. And then another one that we don't talk about, but I think is a big part of it, is Sal Artiaga. I'm going to slaughter his last name. But but Sal is the coordinator of cultural development. He's the guy that's got to go get those guys from the Dominican or wherever they bring them over from and get them incorporated into the United States. Mm-hmm. So those guys are all a big part of it. And we are going to have, hopefully, our last week of hearing GNR. We got some new stuff coming up from Rob Brantley, who you'll his music, Andre and the Giant, is who you heard under the bed for the Fake Ned Minute. They are going to give us some of their music. We're going to use them. I am Casey Royal Man, and I want to thank everybody that has been involved in this mess tonight. Mike, Jeff. Jeff, anything new at 610 for you on their site?
No, I should hopefully have my first article posted soon. So
we'll stay tuned. Let us know, and I'll definitely retweet that for you. Mike, what do you got?
We're going through and reviewing every prospect from our top 25 back in February, plus Ethan Evans is doing a month-by-month breakdown of the Royals' 2011 season on Kings of Kauffman.
Aaron, I hope I didn't make too many gremlins for the Big Dumb Fun Show tomorrow. They're on tomorrow night, 7 to 10, BigDumbFunShow.com. Aaron, thank you so much for all your work. You're awesome. I am Casey Royal Man. We'll be back next week. Until then, peace out. Go Royals.
Hey, Royal Man Report fans, are you ready for some football? I know I am. Kelly's Westport Inn at 500 Westport Road has everything you need for a great Sunday. The NFL Sunday ticket, HD TVs, $2 pizza slices, and discounted beer buckets so low I can't even say I'm here, and you don't even have to pay $27 to park. You can hang out downstairs where it's non-smoking, or head on up to Randall's Roof, which is temperature controlled and has smoking allowed, one of few places in Kansas City. This is the best deck in Kansas City, according to the Pitch Magazine, and it is home of the Royal Man Report post show. Come on out any Sunday after 9 p.m. for discounted boulevards. Get you a beer and have a great time. You like what you're hearing? Check out FlanagansRightHook.com for more information on their music and where you can see them play. They are a favorite of Kelly's Westport Inn. Check them out many, many times at Kelly's in the heart of the core of Westport on the corner of Westport Road in Pennsylvania. Kelly's Westport Inn. Be there.